What's going on, Fear fans? Welcome back to this amazing Sunday night. We are here to talk about season 4, episode 5, Laura, the ill-fated Laura slash Naomi meets the southern gentleman, John Dory. We get a little bit of their backstory. And is John and Morgan staying or are they leaving? We're here to talk about all of that. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Wait for it.
Billy Bass.
What's going on, Fear fans? This is Talking Dead's Take Me to the River. We thought we would plink this song because it was in the episode, and I remember just cracking up when I heard it. Welcome to the Fear of the Walking Dead after show over at AfterBuzz. I am Timothy Michael. I'm joined by my lovely co-host. Can you introduce yourself?
Hey, guys. I'm Krista Flengy.
We are here to talk about this latest episode. I want to know your initial thoughts.
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, we didn't get a lot of the other group, but seeing the backstory and hearing about the backstory with John Dory and our Laura was... It was interesting. Yeah. We had mentioned it during the episode. I like him a lot now. Mm-hmm. At first, we were like, what's up with him? Is he just, you know, awkward because he's not been around people? But yeah. I really fell in love with him this episode.
I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. Yeah. I think that this is one of the top episodes for Fear the Walking Dead. I only say that, and I'm probably going to get a little bit of slack for it, but hear me out, guys. I only say that because it was so beautiful, and it was poetic, and the acting was on point. The story was on point. There were... so many things that I fell in love with during this episode that I really enjoyed this episode. I would probably give this episode a 10 out of 10.
Wow. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
I agree, though. I definitely, like you said, there was a lot of poeticness to mm-hmm. it. It was just seeing them together in the quiet mm-hmm. and him going about his daily routine.
Right.
You know, he had his generator going, eating popcorn and watching a movie, and he still would sign his movies out at the gas station.
I know.
I just like that, him and his routine, and she gets thrown into it, and it brings a little chaos, but it's, like, beautifully together.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Let's start from the beginning of the episode really quick. So we open with John Dory cleaning out his two guns, and he's got a cabin. He's got, like, a ditch slash moat. He had it made. And I wanted to know what your thoughts were on what would you do if you were by yourself for as long as he's been by himself. Because obviously we see him playing Scrabble by himself. We see him cooking for himself. He's pretty much talking to himself. What would you do?
I don't know. That's so hard. I feel like after a while I'd go a bit crazy.
Right?
I don't know what would be... I mean, it's such a terrible situation to already be in, but to be in it alone?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I liked how he'd be playing Scrabble and then for the rest of the day he's coming up with words in his head so he can just, you know, defeat himself later in the night.
I thought that was pretty cool too. He must have a very good vocabulary because if all you're doing is playing Scrabble... I mean, you got to think of all those words. I don't know what I would do. I'd probably read a lot of books.
Yeah, that's good.
I was surprised that he even had a TV in general because I was going to say I'd probably watch a lot of TV, but then...
You forget that you might not be able to, but his setup, I guess. But then wouldn't you... He's watching the same movies over and
over
again.
That's true. I mean...
If you really like them.
I mean, I've watched plenty of movies over and over again. It comes on HBO or whatever. I have 800 channels. What do? I go to the same movie over and over again.
It's better than nothing.
I guess when you're stuck in a zombie apocalypse, though, I guess I want to say your routine, but what you used to know becomes a comfort. You know what I mean? So I would probably watch my... older movies or the movies that I've watched already because it would remind me of a time that wasn't in the present that I'm living in now. You know what I mean?
I agree. And I think the way how he'd have his popcorn, he'd be like, Tuesday night's movie night. Well, every night's movie night. I just feel like getting those old habits, making his brittle, doing those kind of things, it reminds you of, you know, you're still alive and what the world used to be like. So it would bring comfort. So doing those like routine, mundane or just entertaining things that you used to do would definitely...
I guess it's like people in prison when you have like a life sentence, you have to keep to a schedule and that kind of keeps you from going crazy.
Yeah.
So he meets Laura slash Naomi. We've already met her. Now we see how he met her. She's injured. She doesn't have a bite. Obviously, we knew that. It does look like a stab wound though, right?
Oh, I wish they would have gotten into that. Like, how did you get hurt? What happened?
She was very vague about where she came from and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I want to hear your guys' thoughts in the chat about what do you think happened? I think that maybe she was at a camp and it got run over, taken over by walkers or something like that. And she had to, but if it's a stab wound.
So obviously it was inflicted by another living being, person, I would assume.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's curious. I wonder.
It's interesting though, because when he finds her, the first thing that comes out of her mouth is, I have to get back. Why? Oh, I need to know why.
I wrote that down. So obviously, if someone, maybe they were taken by another group, had overrun their camp. Yeah. Or, so someone she must have loved or cared for, or maybe people she was hoping to save are left behind, but
Yeah. But it, that kind of fell off, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? I can understand if she had that same kind of, what do you, the word I'm looking for is emergency or urgency.
And she wasn't like that.
No. After a couple of days, she that kind of just fell off. Yeah. She didn't really have to get back. But, so the next morning, she's up and gone, just like she pulled on Alicia at the water park. She's in his car. She's trying to look for the keys, and he pretty much tells her, you know, the car is not going anywhere. What I loved about this moment, though, is that Fear has been very good about the continuity of their episodes. And the only reason I say that is because he tells her the keys are on the visor. And if you remember when at the water park with Alicia, the first thing she checks is the visor for the keys. And I thought it was brilliant.
It was.
It's just one of the smaller moments in this episode that just made me love it so much.
And also, we know trying to steal cars is her MO when she's trying to... easiest way to go, but I loved that they added that.
And if you're injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's the easiest way to go. But John Dory pretty much tells her, you know, it's dead and needs new car battery. What I loved about this, though, and this is when I think I started, like, falling in love with John Dory, is that he's like, if you want to leave, go ahead. He pretty much has the same Alicia mentality, but he goes a step further and he says, I'll give you some food. I'll give you some water. I would like for you to stay because you're hurt. But if you need to go, I'll set you up. And that's initially when I was like, this is a good guy.
I agree.
Yeah.
I definitely liked. I liked that whole scene of them, her in the car. He catches her and he doesn't say the battery's dead until they're a little bit, until she actually turns the key. He's like, I'd like you to come in on your own, but if you got to find out for yourself, then sure. But I was like, oh, I like how he's really trying to encourage her to come back in.
Yeah, because I mean, if we learned anything, it's you could tell people, I want you to stay, I want you, you should stay. And if they don't want to do it for themselves,
it doesn't
then they're not going to stay.
Yeah.
So I did like that. I'm glad you pointed that out. So she obviously needs stitches. And what I liked about this moment is that we already know that she's a nurse, but they had to set it up for John Dory to kind of pick up on it because she wasn't being very forthcoming with details about her life. And I was literally, you and I both, because I looked at you while we were watching the episode, we were cringing the whole time. Would you be able to do it?
No, absolutely not. Like, I knew immediately when I couldn't even watch her do it to herself.
Yeah.
I would have, you'd have to knock me out.
Yeah.
At least ice it first, numb it a bit.
Ice?
I don't know. I don't know. Just do something. Well, like stick her in a, he's got a fridge.
All right.
Yeah, he might have ice. Put her in the freezer for a bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something. There's some kind of, I don't know. It's just.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, you just have to when you have no other choice.
I wanted to know if you could do it. I am very squeamish.
Yeah.
When it comes to stuff like that, I don't know if I would be able to. I would like to think that if push came to shove and I was by myself, that I would do it. But I'd probably just get an infection and die because...
Right? That's my mindset now. I'm thinking that when you're... I guess when you're in that situation, it's either that or she just has a gaping wound that's not going to heal any faster.
I mean, guys in the chat, let me know because I'm obviously not a nurse.
Yeah, I have a prediction for how she got to be with Dory and Stab.
Yes, tell me.
Is it Simon?
Yes,
Simon Serna. Yeah, Serna says, I was going to say that maybe the Vultures had something to do with her group, but she would have recognized them with Madison's group.
True.
True.
And she hasn't. I was thinking the same thing, Simon. I was thinking maybe it would be the Vultures, but she would have recognized them. She would have given them a heads up.
Maybe there's more of them that we haven't seen somewhere.
Maybe. Or he's... maybe it goes on based off of our prediction that the Vultures aren't going to last for more than half of the season.
Yeah.
So maybe there's another group that comes right after them that she's familiar with.
Ooh.
But then at the same time, we don't know because apparently she's dead. So we would never know.
That's true.
Maybe we never get that answer. I don't know.
Maybe she escaped the camp and is still alive.
Maybe. I mean, I want to save it for predictions, but that's what I'm hoping for too. John Dory, just the typical Southern gentleman, he makes her dinner. What I loved about this moment is that he introduces himself. And if we know anything about Naomi/Laura, is that, once again, she's not very open with people that she just meets. And he gives her a name. He gives her a name. It's Laura. And I love this moment because that's who he knows her as.
It was so good.
What's interesting, though, is throughout the episode, she never tells him her real name.
No.
Which was kind of surprising because... I mean, obviously, if you watch to the end of the episode, which I'm sure everybody has, you kind of see that the connection that these two have, and to not tell somebody your real name It's a little weird.
I agree. But I loved that because mm-hmm. he could already tell she was on edge. Mm-hmm. They just met. And when they met, she was super vulnerable. She was hurt. So he was like, you don't even, you know, here's my name. Here's a piece of, you know, a fact and information about me that'll hopefully comfort you so you get to know me. But I don't need to know anything else about you until you're ready.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to name you Laura. Hope that's cool. Yeah. And she was like, yeah.
I think this says a lot about her as well because she obviously has been through a lot. And I feel like she didn't want to introduce herself because then that just gives you a connection with somebody. And you know, especially during a zombie apocalypse, that it's not going to last for very long. And I'm sure she's been through hell and back and has had people that she's known and loved and they've got taken away. So I understand her reservations, but at the same time, I just love John Dorian. I was like, tell him your name. Tell him your name.
I know.
So day two, well, even before day two, that night, she sees him cleaning the guns. And the only reason I wanted to bring that up is because obviously what it has to do with in the kind of toward the middle slash end of the episode. Did you think that it was going to take that turn, though, when she saw the guns?
No. So at first, I think I looked at you and I was like, oh, does she steal it in the end? Does she keep it a secret? Which kind of seemed like what she was doing because she did have it on her and he noticed it. And obviously she took it without his permission or even asking.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't think it was going to take that turn.
Yeah, no, me neither.
But the gun... whole gun idea became such a vocal point of the episode.
Yes.
The story behind it, the how everything goes at the end with her life. Yeah.
Yeah. Once again, this just brings me back to when we said something about Althea being a journalist and how she runs an entire episode. We could say that easily about the guns in this episode. We open it up with the guns. The guns kind of introduce this episode. It kind of introduces their relationship and how they know each other, and it kind of stays that way throughout the episode. So, not to mention, these guns are beautiful.
Oh, I know.
I want to know who gave him these guns.
I agree.
Because they're beautiful. They've got his initials etched into them. Yes. I love that. So, day two, we find out that John has a routine. Every Tuesday, he kills the walkers that wash up on his bank. And he goes to the store.
I like new.
And you talked about it, that he has a routine, he has a schedule. And I think that the only reason he has the schedule is because it will keep him from going crazy.
That's a really great way to look at it. Yeah. It must. And because I think when you keep yourself on a schedule, that's also something you do mm-hmm. back before everything turned. You know, you went to work on this day, or some people go grocery shopping on this day. I just feel like it for him, that routine keeps him sane. You're right.
Yeah. And then once again, Laura is just being so stubborn. He offers her the boots. She doesn't want to take the boots. And I love, once again, how these boots have this way of appearing throughout the episode. Fear the Walking Dead, man. It's
good.
It's good.
It's like, really good this season.
Like, if we really break it down, which we are, and you look at these little tiny things, it's brilliant.
It is. I loved the boots at the end. He comes out, her old worn sneakers are there, and she's fine. You can see she trusts him enough to take the advice about the boots, but not to stay.
But I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that she takes the boots because it would remind her of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she left him a little present too.
I can't. I will get to it. We'll get to it. Okay, so they take the canoe. So what I loved about the canoe whole thing was that John has a backup plan for it. Like, he's got the canoe. Mm-hmm. He's got this ditch. He has made preparations for himself just in case things go awry. And I love that. So they take the guns to the store. And on the way, we kind of find out a little bit more about John Dory's backstory. We knew he was a police officer from a previous episode. But he says something. He says guns cause more problems than they solve. Do you agree or disagree?
In this world?
Both,
that they're
actually.
In? The world that they're in right now, there's a time and a place. Mm-hmm. It's definitely nice to have for an emergency. When it came to Laura, the gun obviously saved her life.
Yes.
But in the old world, before the zombies, mm-hmm. I kind of have the same mindset as him. Yeah. You know, they do. They cause a lot of issues.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, I have a different stance when I'm running around in an apocalypse. You know, I'd like to have one. I don't need to use it. If you can use an axe or a knife, use that instead. But I feel like there's times where you'd feel a lot safer if you had it just in case.
I agree with you. I completely agree. And I think that Laura feels the same way. And we'll get to that in a second. So we find out that these walkers are falling off this bridge and then washing up on John's bank, cabin, embankment, front door, whatever. What I liked about the whole store setup, though, it gave me a lot of questions because, A, this store is stocked up. Where is everybody? And why hasn't this store been, like, picked clean already?
Raided.
Right.
That's what he said, that it was shut down. They left before everything went you know, crazy.
Yeah, I get that.
But still, how is no one, obviously there's walkers, so there's people in the general area. I don't understand how there's anything left in that store.
Right. And if you looked at some of the walkers on the bridge and everything like that, obviously these could have been self-inflicted by the walkers walking into things. But even with the guy, the one with the sword going through him, there are people. Now, granted, we don't know how long these walkers have been walking.
Or how earlier long it is into...
True. True. I just thought that this setup was... as cool as it was, I was like, how is it so perfect?
And how John's the only one that's rented movies.
Right, right. Imagine if there was another name on there. That'd be kind of cool.
I also liked the little moment where she was putting stuff. She was rearranging the store.
Yes.
That was good, too.
I thought that was great. It shows that she, as reserved and how... just the hesitancy she has about opening up to people, she still cares enough about people. I mean, she was a nurse. Obviously, she puts people first.
Yeah. And she makes a point. She's like, I'm lucky to have a job that's still relevant in this world.
Yes.
Which,
Yeah. And the only time that she opens up is on night two, which I kept on it until about day three, and then time kind of goes crazy on us because the wound is all already healed up and stuff. But during night two, they're sitting there watching a movie with the popcorn and stuff. I love that moment. And he falls asleep and she looks at him and he wakes up and she says, I lost my child. And then gets up.
And goes.
And goes.
Like, she just gives him a little piece. And then, I mean, that's a hard piece to give, a real big one.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I want to know, like, what was Dory's family life like before that? Was it just him?
So do I.
Yeah, that would have been a good part for him to be like, yeah.
Which I was a little surprised that they didn't go into too much backstory in this episode. I'm not mad at it. I like the questions that it leaves us, but I like the little bit that they gave us. I wished in this moment that, see, I'm kind of torn because I like John's just letting it sink in and not asking her a whole bunch of questions, because I feel like he already understands that she's not very open about things. So for her to have told him that is a lot. It's a big step forward. But I wanted him to be like, how, why? I need to know these questions, but I understand and I respect the fact that he didn't jump on her about it.
I think she got up to leave so fast too that he knew that was really hard for her to just divulge that information. So he was like, you know what, I'm glad she opened up as much as she did. And maybe later he could, but he didn't get the chance.
And I think that this was a turning point for not only her mindset but for their relationship, because the next day, you know, she asks him to teach her how to fish, which I loved, because there's that whole proverb, you know, teach a man to fish, give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime.
Yeah, that's it.
And I like this moment because it shows that she wants to stay, but she's conflicted. That's what I got out of it.
That, and it also shows that he wants her to stay, but the more that he teaches her, the easier it's going to be for her to leave. So he's conflicted too, because he wants her to stay, but he knows teaching her these lessons and these resources also makes it easier for her to leave whenever she wants.
Yeah. Really quick, guys, if you want to have fun, learn and grow in all areas of your life, for those who do, we've got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our very own AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister that you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free, and be sure to rate and comment and let her know it was me and Krista from the Fear of the Walking Dead panel that sent you there, because we get the credit and we love getting shout outs from Maria. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition, every Friday on iTunes, guys. Check it out.
Yes, definitely do it.
I know that free. Crystal listens to it at the gym.
It's great. I do. And it's free, so why not?
This is how she stays beautiful, you guys. This is how she stays beautiful.
Yeah, that's it.
Just back into the episode, another turning point for them is now, we saw in the beginning that John plays Scrabble by himself, he cooks by himself.
And self-sufficient.
Now, and now they play Scrabble together, they watch movies together, eat together. It's literally full circle. It's just so poetic and so beautiful. We can literally see a relationship happening right before our eyes. But then we get to the part where he has to take the stitches out, and you can literally tell she doesn't want to go.
I know.
And can you blame her? I wouldn't want to go either.
It's like she's so stubborn, but I get why she is. Stubborn. But I'm like, just tell him you want to stay. And also, that moment was super poetic because they sat there in silence for a minute, and you know he wanted to be like, stay.
Yes.
And she kind of wanted to talk about it too. But then the zombie came, and like it always does, it interrupted the moment. So he had to go.
And handle that. And then that just brings us back to, you know, they, have to go and they have to patch up the bridge, which they did earlier, we forgot to mention, but they didn't do it sufficient enough. No. So he says that he wants to go back, and she says that, you know, she has a great idea to, let's use the car instead. While they're fixing up the bridge, they have this argument, and this is what I really want to talk about. She got the gun, which you alluded to earlier, took it out of the box, and obviously didn't ask for permission. And they obviously have a conflicting view on these guns. He says that he doesn't want to use these guns because it just causes more problems, like he said earlier. She says if you have it, then you should use it. I want to know your viewpoint on it.
So I know she also knew that it was more deeply rooted, but she, obviously they weren't in a situation where they could sit and talk about it because there were zombies. You know, it wasn't time for that. But also I get why she was like, just use the gun. Just let's use it. We're on a bridge. I agree. Like, it's nice to have on you, but I agree that I don't think she should have taken it without asking and all of that.
Okay.
But I agree on her point where, you know, we might need it just in case. But I completely agree where he was like, you know, they bring more will come. So that's why you only use it if you need to.
Well,
but to have it would be to use it, and he wouldn't have had it. Yeah.
Well, to your point, when the walker comes up with them and he's like breaking through the car, would you have used it?
Yeah, I would have. I mean, he was pretty determined that he could do it without it, but I mean, that it had a knife coming at you and a zombie. Yeah. I mean, I would have been like,
I'm surprised she didn't like reach over and just take care of it. And literally through the roof, just reach over.
I know, and his point, well, it wasn't close enough to get you, and obviously I would, but
I don't know. What was interesting about that moment was, though, he does stab it, but then he goes, like, haywire on it. Like, he goes buck wild on this thing.
Oh, with vengeance, he stabs it.
So, what was that about?
I think because she kept yelling, kill it, or use your gun. She kept saying, shoot him, Jen, and he wouldn't do it, so I think it was for him to prove to her that, you know, I can do it. But also, I think it brought back the memories of why he didn't use the gun.
Right.
It was like, you know.
Yeah, which just brings us back into my next topic, which was, we get a little bit of more of a backstory about John and why he really doesn't want to use guns. He obviously feels guilty. And what I liked about this is that if you guys watch The Walking Dead, Rick, the main character, was a police officer. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning of the first episode, season one, he gets shot by a bad guy.
It's why he's in the hospital when he wakes up to this world.
Right. Yeah. And then we look at this in John Dory's story, is that he killed somebody by accident, still a bad guy, but he didn't want to kill him. And this is why he doesn't want to use guns.
Which is like, so, I love how it's so parallel of the two different worlds in Fear and Walking Dead.
Yes.
Because John's in this cabin where he is ultimately safer than where you could be.
Yes.
Because he's got this whole setup. Yeah. And he's there because of what he did and how he said it. Everyone thought he was a hero and he couldn't live with that.
Yeah. And I loved how what she said when she says, no matter how many people say it's not your fault, what matters is that you still believe it.
I loved that.
I love that too.
That was a great quote.
Because once again, no matter how many times you tell people, it really goes on what you think about it.
It's true. It's your opinion is gonna eat at you the most, so you have to believe it.
I agree. A little bit of a confusing point in the episode was when we see the walkers on the bridge again and they're surrounding the car that they had just previously moved in front of the opening. What was that? Why were they?
Because the walker was dead, right?
There was no human blood in there. They didn't get cut.
So at first I was like, did they not kill the walker all the way? Was he making noise in the Jeep that attracted them? But he was, I'm almost positive he was dead.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand. I mean, I think,
maybe
can't remember.
Maybe the earlier commotion of it attracted them?
Maybe, but why were they trying to move the car? I mean, they're not trying to move the car. They don't obviously have, they're not thinking about it.
But they're very dead set.
But why right there?
Yeah.
There's no sound. I can understand if the horn went off, something, but they were actively trying to move this car.
Yeah.
Which I didn't get. Maybe the people in the chat
can kind of
give us a...
The only thing I could think is that the other walker was in there, and then they all, I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah. Maybe I missed something. Guys in the chat, if you could let us know. But that just brings us back to the next moment where they all fall into the river and they wash up on John Dory's embankment in front of his cabin. Yes.
Simon said the walker in the water was making the noise.
Because
he didn't kill him. Yes,
that's
remember that. You're right, because she wanted to kill him.
Yes.
And he just pushed him under.
That's right.
That makes sense.
Simon, you are the best.
Yes.
That's why we love fans in the chat, because you guys keep us on point. That's why. So the sound was drawing them to... Now
I forgot that he... Because I remembered she was going to kill him, and he was like, no, just drown
just
him a little
bit. Just push him away.
So that's on John Dory.
Brilliant. That was on John Dory, and that obviously just... the fight just goes right to John Dory, and him and Laura have to defend the cabin. What was interesting to me was that I thought that they could have just stayed inside the cabin and stayed quiet, and the walkers would have just moved on, right?
But they were walking up towards the cabin, so they were like, what's up there?
But I guess eventually
you'd have to come out, and then, but maybe wait till daylight.
That's what I was thinking too, but then at the same time, they might have caused more damage.
That's
than
true, because they'd be making waited. Noise and more would come. Right. Yeah.
And then it just gets worse.
You
want
to get rid of the situation as soon as possible, I guess.
John Dory's a good shot. Did you notice that?
Oh, when my goodness. When he had to goodness. Save Laura,
he was like, boom, also, boom, 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 boom.
Also, she's in there, and it's dark. So not only are you killing all of these guys, you're also trying not to hit her.
Yeah.
I was like, you are fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, okay, that's fascinating. So after that whole commotion, John Dory gives Laura one of his guns, which kind of sets off all the stuff that happens in the present day. And she sits next to him, and she wants him to sit next to her, too, and he doesn't. He's trying to avoid her. And I was like, maybe he has hard feelings. This was my initial thought. I was like, maybe he has hard feelings. Maybe he's mad because of the guns. Maybe he's mad because he had to shoot guns. This is what I was thinking. And then he says that he loves her. And I was completely surprised by this because I was like, well, it's only been like a month, maybe tops, if that, maybe 2 weeks. But I can see why he loves her.
And he's been alone for so long. So this is his first human interaction in God knows how long. And they've been bonding.
Yeah.
She's playing, she's doing the things he loves with them. You know, they're eating popcorn, watching movies.
I get it.
And he's remembering, and that's why I loved that quote where you being alive makes this whole world feel alive.
Girl.
I was like, oh, John Dory, I love you. But it's so poetic. Like you said, this whole episode was poetic because it does. And he's been alone for so long that he forgets there's life out there because he's just been killing the dead and going about himself. So when she shows up, he's like, there's things out there worth fighting for and living for. Yes. Yeah.
I think what I loved was when he said, I'll leave. He says, you can have the place. I'll go. I was like, John Dory, you're killing me.
I'm like tearing up thinking about it because
I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you are amazing. You are amazing. And it makes me feel guilty because the first and second episode, we were like, I don't know. We don't trust him. And now I'm like, you're such an amazing person.
I know.
I'm like, what is happening? So then they kiss, which
I would have given
a lot more of that. I was like, you literally just gave me everything. And then the next morning, she's gone. Which you called it even before. Like, River Bass wakes us up and he's like, take me to the river. And
he feels
gone.
For her. And he's like, she gone.
And she's gone. And what I loved is that she leaves the Scrabble note. I love you too. I'm sorry. And then the boots come back into play. And she obviously left her old shoes and took his boots. I wanted them to stay together so bad. And I really hope that she's not dead.
I know. Everyone in the chat agrees. I also, what I liked about that whole scene is, remember in the beginning how he said, I sleep maybe 1-2 hours a night?
Yeah.
He must have finally felt safe enough to sleep throughout the night. And that's when she was able to, because usually he'd be up every, you know, it took her a while to write out Scrabble stuff and pack her stuff.
I didn't even think about that. I'm so glad that you brought that up because it didn't even occur to me.
He finally trusted himself to sleep, and here she comes.
I think obviously it was deeper than that. Obviously he has so much on his mind, or he feels like if he sleeps too long, he'll go even crazier. But now he feels content and comfortable enough to actually sleep throughout the night. And she's gone.
She ruined it. Now I'll never get a night's sleep again.
Do we think that she was scared? Is that why she left?
I think after losing her child, how she brought that up, and she said it so quickly, and you could tell it was so hard. I think she truly did love him, too. But I think that love also terrified her because that also means that's someone she loves that she could risk losing if she stays.
I completely agree with you. And then we jump to the present day and Morgan and John are sitting here. What I loved about this episode, again, is that we see a lot of similarities between John and Morgan because Morgan has this hesitancy about killing and John does as well. And I wasn't expecting all of that in this episode. And Morgan says, you know, maybe we can still have a second chance because he sees that John wants to be a better person. He wants to live a good life, clearly, but he just hasn't had the opportunity after Laura left. And obviously, we're probably not going to find out what happened and why he left the cabin and all this stuff, but I want to know.
Maybe. I feel like that was the moment we would have learned because he was telling Morgan about her.
Yes.
So I feel like if we were going to know why, I think he just went after her.
Yeah.
I think eventually he might have stayed a couple days and then he was like, you know what? I need to convince her that being together is better than being alone, or, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he went out, and that's when, you know, present day, we're with Morgan and everyone.
I love that theory.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. I think he probably went after her as well, and that's how
he... Because he did say, like, I lost a girl. Have you seen her? He says it to everyone he meets.
Right.
Yeah.
But if we remember in the first episode when he meets Morgan, it's been a year.
Yeah, that's true.
So
since
she...
he's seen anyone.
Anyone. So this includes
Laura. It's been
Laura.
A while.
Yeah, I keep calling her Laura. We know her name is Naomi.
Yeah. Guys,
I don't know.
This whole episode, it was Laura.
So. I know. So we're just going to call her Laura. The title of the episode was Laura. Everybody in the chat, Simon especially, has been on point. I need to go over to you for some shout outs.
Yes, we also have Sydney Taylor.
Awesome.
And yeah, she also, after Simon had told us to, reminded us about the walker in the river. That's why you guys are so great. Because, you know, when you're taking notes and stuff, you miss things. And
yeah.
That's why it's really important that you guys are there and helping us out. We have King Rail. And he didn't like the episode as much. He said it was slow.
Okay.
I could see where you get not as many kills.
Yeah, I was worried that, you know, people would say that this episode was slow, but I can appreciate that. Like I said, I really enjoyed the episode. I gave it a 10 out of 10. And I liked how it brought us back to, and it was desperately needed, to a time when things weren't going crazy.
I agree.
You know what I mean? It just gave me hope for more episodes.
And it was nice to just see... It's nice to see those moments on how people are surviving when they are on their on their own. Because we're used to seeing everyone in their groups or walking and not in a stable place.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice to see how he had set up. And it's like, how many other people are out there just doing that?
Yeah.
Getting by day.
Yeah, but we love the thoughts in the chat, you guys. Thank you so much for watching and commenting and you know, watching the YouTube video. Because we love interacting with you guys. If you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure you give us a 5-star rating. It keeps the viewers coming in. Give us a thumbs up on the YouTube video. We love interacting with you guys. We love our fans. We love you in the chat. Why we do the show for you guys. You guys keep the lights on. So thank you so much for tuning in every week, week after week. And then tell your friends about us. Continue to, you know, interact with us. We
you
love it.
You guys rock.
Let's get into one of our favorite segments. Do you have anything else you want to add to the episode?
I think we're yeah.
Yeah? Okay, let's go into one of our favorite segments, our favorite kill of the episode. Yes! Thank you, Jules, for that amazing sound bite.
Yes.
I'm going to jump over to you really quick, Krista. What was one of your favorite kills throughout this episode?
I think mine would have to be, so it ended up being the multiple kills, but it was when Laura was overcome by the walkers, and it was just seeing him finally use, the moment of him finally taking out the gun, and he was doing it to save Laura, who he's fallen in love with, and she knows how much he hates the gun.
Yeah.
So, and it was also, because it's dark, and he's swinging that around, like... some cowboy.
Yeah.
And he didn't hurt her, but he got all of them.
Of course
I was like,
he did.
Yes.
I
liked
that.
That.
I like that one. I think mine would have to be the one with the machete through his shoulder. Only because the stakes were pretty high.
I wrote
like,
that
oh
one down
gosh,
too.
I don't know if he's going to get stabbed with a sword. But then he goes haywire on this walker. And that just opened up a lot of questions and doors for me. And I like questions. I like doors opening.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know why he was so passionate about not shooting this walker, and obviously we find out through the episode, but that was definitely my favorite kill.
It also, like, that whole him having that machete through him, that you zombies are already an issue, but then when I'm like, that makes it times 10.
Yeah, because if we know anything, if you watch The Walking Dead, their blood on that sword, if it gets into you, like, there's
that was
a
dangerous mix.
Yes, yeah. So that was my favorite kill. Let's go into some news and gossip.
Woo!
Not too much news and gossip today, you guys.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So the actor that plays John Dory, his name is Garrett Dillahunt. Fun fact, he actually wanted to play Negan on The Walking Dead, which I thought that was really, really interesting.
Can you see him playing Negan?
Yes, but Jeffrey Dean Morgan does such a good job with the character. I don't know if you read the comics, but Jeffrey Dean Morgan does an amazing job.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan's amazing. I like that they play who they play,
I think.
But also, it's who I'm used to playing.
So funny thing, though, according to comicbook.com, Garrett Dillahunt says he's still, even after this episode, he still doesn't know anything about John Dory's family. He doesn't know anything about where he lived before, specifically. He says, I know what he did. I know why he didn't do it anymore. And then I know what happens to him early on in the apocalypse. So if you think about that as an actor standpoint, you're literally going into this role blind.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of make up for all these holes that the writers aren't giving to you just yet, because obviously they don't even know where your character is going. They don't even know if you're probably going to last an episode.
That's so interesting.
I just find it fascinating that Garrett Dillon is such an amazing actor that he can literally go on nothing and create this entire person that we've literally fell in love with after this episode.
Yeah, honestly, because that makes your job even harder when you don't know your full backstory and you're kind of just going off what you feel like maybe's the issue. Like, he's literally filling in the blanks for himself.
Right.
That's
great. It's not obviously the first time that an actor's done this.
No.
But it just gives me a newfound respect for Garrett Dillahunt. And like I said, after this episode, we both love John Dory. So
yes.
I want to see what happens to him, which brings us into our next segment, predictions. Let's get into some predictions. We want to hear everybody's predictions in the chat as well.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, if we learned anything from the preview for next episode, some stuff is about to go down.
Mm.
And there's only three episodes left of this half of the fourth season. So, give me some predictions, Krista.
So, I think I'm going to go with, because we didn't really talk about it, how at the end we had Morgan and Dory discussing everything. And Morgan decides to stay. Mm-hmm. But, like, and we weren't sure if that meant stay together and go about their ways or go and find the rest of the group. And I think they're going to go find Alicia.
Okay.
And I think they're going to try to, you know, stay, because everyone's living. And I think Morgan wants to remind people of that. And there's more to just fighting and dying.
Yeah.
So I hope they do that. And I also really hope Naomi's alive.
I
hope she escaped the camp somehow when everything... She also seems like she's a pretty tough cookie, and I think she probably had a plan B.
Right.
She seems like that kind of person that as much as she wanted to stay, she knew that it could go at any time. So I hope she had a plan B and she used it.
I completely agree with you. The only fault that I have in that is that I think because she's been so reserved and she doesn't want to open up to people is because she's afraid of getting connected to them. And I feel like because she got connected to them, the reason why she died was because she was trying to save somebody in the group. I know, but I really don't want her to be dead. I want her and John to have a second chance, like he called it in the episode. I think some of the predictions that I have is that Madison is going to get tired of Mel and his taunting at the stadium. And I feel like she's going to make a move. As much as she might not want to, I think it's going to get to the point where they have to, and Madison will take the shot. And I think that's how everything goes just buck wild at the stadium.
Interesting.
I think that's what's going to happen. Because
we don't know how it turns.
It
looks like next week we get a little bit of that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, Simon has a prediction.
Oh, let me see.
He said, I think characters tie with each other. What if Al's tapes, especially the bog, has something to do with Naomi's group?
Ooh.
The writers put a lot of focus on those tapes. Maybe Al met Naomi before John. Oh, I like that.
Oh, I like that too.
Yeah, so she doesn't know that Naomi's the same Naomi or Laura that he knows, and maybe she has tapes on her already.
Maybe,
or maybe
Althea is the link to these two
characters. All of them, yeah.
Ooh. That's a good assignment. Cool. See, this is why we have our amazing fans in the chat.
I like it.
Do you have anything else that you need to...
No.
No? Awesome. You guys, that has been our recap of Season 4, Episode 5, entitled Laura of Fear the Walking Dead. We love when you guys interact with us and tweet at us throughout the week. So, Krista, let our fans know where they can find you.
Hey, guys. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Krista Flengy.
You guys, I am Timothy Mike. Michael, you can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. Make sure you reach out and follow at AfterBuzzTV on Twitter as well, because they've got some really awesome information there. We will be back same time, same day next week to talk about the next episode and what's going to happen then. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.